Last week, five Wisconsin school districts and several other organizations sued the Wisconsin legislature over education funding.
The plaintiffs argue that lawmakers are withholding the funding needed for, quote, the fundamental right of access to an equal opportunity for a sound basic education without tuition. The lawsuit says this means lawmakers are falling short of educational requirements under the state constitution.
Tanya Ketlowski is the superintendent of the Nisida Area School District in central Wisconsin, which is joining that suit. Superintendent Ketlowski, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Now, your school district has joined this lawsuit claiming that the state legislature has failed to meet its, quote, constitutionally mandated obligation to provide all children with an equal opportunity for a sound basic education, end quote. That's from the lawsuit. As you see it, how do you see the current funding plans from the legislature failing schools like yours?
Sure. So first of all, in the current funding policy of the state of Wisconsin, student needs are not considered in that policy. And I would argue over my 31 years, I have really seen needs shift of our children. Our children are coming to us with much more significant needs in all different ways. And if the funding formula doesn't equate to the children's needs and it only looks at numbers, I don't think we're adequately helping our kids be the most successful they can be. In terms of special education funding, which of course is a need of our children, we're at 21% or more of students with special needs. And so as we look at that funding, just in the last 10 years, we've been underfunded by over $13 million. And so when I look at our last two operational referenda, 100% of that would have gone to that. That in and of itself is problematic, but certainly the needs of our kids have shifted. And I think, you know, when you love kids, you're going to, you know, as humble as it may be to sit here talking about it, I need to advocate for them. And I'm going to do it with faith and conviction and do my very best to do what I can do to serve those kids.
Now, somebody could say, hey, this is a policy argument that you can agree or disagree with. A legal violation in effect of constitutionally required duties for the legislature. Do you see that as a high bar for you and the other people in the suit to try to meet?
Sure. I mean, I'm not going to deny it could be a high bar. But again, I think when you look at when you keep the focus on children, and I don't care where the children reside or go to school or the type of schooling that they want or what their parents choose, it's not about that, because that would throw things into politics. This is really about really just loving children and recognizing the valuable asset they are, and sort of defray from the whole idea that this is about politics. And when we really want to love and support kids, when we have a focus on really supporting the children of our state and of our nation, we're going to find ways to better support their needs. And right now, our current policy does not do that. And I think our children deserve that. We have a lot of special needs kids. We have a lot of needs that are at-risk kids. We have a lot of children of poverty. We have a high needs population, and I think to get them the adequate resources they need, we need to revisit how we fund them.
What remedy are you hoping for from the courts if your lawsuit is successful?
I just hope there's a greater consideration for two things. One is how we look at the needs of children when we determine the final funding of revenue that a district can bring in. And two, I really think we need to look at the formula and how we determine what percentage and what portion of the burden of the revenue limit falls on the backs of taxpayers. I live in a high property value district, a very small district, but we're on lakefront property. But I have a very significant high population of citizens that love our kids. They've supported two operational referenda, but they're low and fixed income residents. And that is a majority of our school district. And I just think we have to consider some things that are in addition to property wealth and numbers of kids. There's just more to the story than that. And I think Nisida kind of depicts some of that story.
State lawmakers are still negotiating with Governor Evers over possibly using the state's budget surplus for some combination of property tax relief and funding for schools. Is there an outcome that could come from that would make you say, okay, now we're pretty good, we don't need this lawsuit?
I wouldn't be doing my justice to suggest that there's a solution that could come out of those current negotiations, because I don't know how everybody would be impacted. What I know is that we have chronic underfunding. And I think that chronic underfunding has put way too much of this tax burden on our local taxpayers. And we have to have a better solution. I think we can champion for children and advocate for taxpayers and ensure that parents have their opportunities of what they want for their children. They are the backbone of society, our families are. And so how can we do this in a way that makes sense? It supports our families, it supports our children, and it supports our local taxpayers to figure out if there are better ways to do things. I think we owe it to our people, our state people, to do that. And I believe when we have strong schools, we're going to have a strong state.
Superintendent Ketlowski, thanks again for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Tanya Ketlowski is the superintendent of the Nisida Area School District in central Wisconsin. It's one of several groups suing the state legislature over school funding. Now we'll hear from Rick Essenberg, president and general counsel of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, also known as WILL. Rick, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Now, Rick, at this point, as we're speaking, you're not representing any party in this suit. That said, as you look at it, as you see the case being made here, what is your reaction to this kind of unusual lawsuit, I think?
Well, you know, I think we have to take a step back. You know, we all love children. We want to educate children. But we live in a democratic republic. And how much to spend on public schools, how that money is to be spent, and how that money is to be raised are political questions. They are questions that our Constitution dictates ought to be made by the legislature and the governor, not by the courts. Our Constitution does not provide that usurpation of these decisions by a group of lawyers. And so it's important to understand that the case is, however well-intentioned, really an assault on our democracy, on our way of making decisions democratically. And if you think that more money should be spent on public schools, if you think that the money should be raised in a different way, with the state contributing more perhaps than the local school districts, that's all fine. But your argument is with the legislature. That's where you need to go. And, you know, the fact that you may not get exactly what you want is not a bug, it's a feature of democracy.
The argument in the suit is kind of a chain, says, hey, the Constitution lays out a broad standard of what education should be for Wisconsin kids. And courts and the legislature have interpreted that and implemented that as meaning certain levels of funding that do certain things. And then the lawsuit goes on to say, I'm super shorthanding this, the lawsuit goes on to say, by those standards, via the Constitution, via these interpretations, that's why this is a legal case, because the legislature isn't meeting constitutional and statutory cases they've made in the past. Do you see there being some case there where maybe the court should be involved in that?
No, I mean, it's absolutely false. I mean, first of all, they go back and they look at some statements that were made during the Constitutional Convention and say, well, gee, the founders wanted 2/3 funding from the state. Well, we've never had, we rarely had in 170 years, 2/3 funding from the state. And that requirement is not in the Constitution. The courts have never and are not well suited to be the ones that run public schools. This is something that is given over to the people and the people's elected representatives. This is something that we have to work out. We don't need to go to, a group of lawyers, wound up being maybe 4 lawyers out of 7, who will dictate how much we have to spend on public schools, how we're going to spend the money that we raise for public schools, and how that money is to be raised. These are simply political questions. They are the stuff of negotiation and compromise.
A thought exercise. Suppose a future combination of governors and lawmakers said, hey, we're going to fund public schools 0. We're going to cut all the funding. Is there a threshold somewhere where you'd say, well, wait a minute, if they're funding at 0, they're not meeting that constitutional call for the state to support education?
Well, Sure, in the sense that the Constitution says that, you know, that there have to be district schools, but that doesn't mean that it is now up to courts to decide on the particulars and the details of that. Yes, this is an obligation that the legislature and the governor have. These are things that we need to work out politically. These are not things that, you know, it's really quite elitist to think that that we will take this decision making from the people of the state of Wisconsin and give it to a group of lawyers. That's not what our Constitution provides for. And I got to say, you know, right now, I think that our, you know, friends on the left side of the political spectrum think that they've got a majority on the court and, you know, they should go for this. But, you know, the way that the law does work is that, you know, precedent matters. And if we decide that public education becomes the province of the courts, I guarantee you that there will be some day when there's a very different majority on that court. And I think that the people who are today advocating for, you know, judicial usurpation of, you know, what our democracy has reserved to the legislature and the governor, they won't like what that conservative majority does. And so I think that this is a time when, as important as this is, that we ought to stick to principle. We ought to understand that process matters, that how we make decisions matter. And this is a decision that is to be made by the people and their elected representatives, not courts.
We'll leave it there. Rick, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Rick Essenberg, president and general counsel of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. We also heard from Tanya Ketlowski, superintendent of the Nisida Area School District. We've been talking about a lawsuit filed by school districts and others saying state lawmakers are not meeting their constitutional requirements for school funding.